Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. I'm so excited to have as the first guest on Quote Me, Elena Bird, a dear friend, an opera singer, and the director of Sacred Music at my parish in New Jersey. Elena, thanks for being here.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
I'm so excited to share your music and who you are with our listeners. When I met you, I think it was at like a fish and chips, right, at our church. And I've learned so much about your love of music and your love of literature, how incredibly well-read you are. I think we've had, what I value a lot in our friendship is the conversations that we've had about creativity and about navigating work in the arts and work in the church and motherhood, and how all those different parts of who we are come together and how do we balance them? How do we live all of them to the best of our ability? So I love the quote that you have picked to share with us today. Do you want to share what the quote is and where you first came across it?
Yes, absolutely. So when you first asked me to, find a quote that I think about frequently or that sort of like, gets me through a day sometimes, the first one that I thought of first, I was like, oh, there's got to be like a Bible quote or like song lyrics or there should be a Bible quote or there should be a song that like, gets me through the day. But the first thing that came to me was a quote from A Midsummer's Night's Dream. Wait, now I said that wrong. Well, whatever it is. I took Shakespeare for non-majors so long ago, but it was one of my favorite classes. But anyway, A Midsummer Night's Dream, when Helena says to Hermia, or says about Hermia, she's actually talking to Lysander. She's warning Lysander to beware of Hermia. And she says, and though she be but little, she is fierce. So I love this quote because just the idea of ferocity in somebody so small is endearing, but also like so inspiring. And the first time it really came to me was probably about 8 years ago. I was at a music program in Florida and with the woman who's actually been my voice teacher since then. And she's so tough. Like she's like the essence of like ferocity. And but she's like 6'2" and I'm not, and I'm not like terribly short, but for an opera singer, I'm pretty small. I'm definitely like on the small side. And opera singers tend to be tall and somewhat, the stereotype. It's not always true.
Not who you are.
Yeah.
My Spartan recent friend, not you.
Right. So, anyway, there was one voice lesson where she had me like try to pick up the piano, which of course you can't really do by yourself, but I was wearing heels.
Wait,
because I'm
physically lift the piano.
Yes, while singing. And it has to do with like getting really good support, like under your voice, and you utilizing like good strength, like not tension, but like good strength, like okay. while you're singing. So I was wearing like 3.5-inch heels because that's what I did back before I had kids, and my feet hurt all the time. And somebody made a comment like, whoa, that was a, you know, big sound that came out of her or something. And she just like looked at that person who was in the room and she pointed at me and she said, little but fierce. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am little but fierce. Yes, I love that. And I just owned that. And it totally propelled me for like the next couple of weeks through that program. And then I got to grad school and like my life tanked. And that quote was just something that like totally like kept me going through it. So anyway, I shouldn't say it tanked because like by first world, or, you know, by normal world standards, like I was healthy. I had a roof over my head. I had clean laundry, but like life just like, didn't go the way.
Sure, but the thing you were trying to do was super hard.
Exactly. And the next year I went back to the same program and I was in a totally different place mentally than the year before when I had just felt like so victorious and so strong and so like ready to move forward. And I just felt a year later coming back, like I was just in a terrible, terrible dark place. And somebody said something to me that like, I was like overly sensitive to. And my voice teacher's husband pulled me out in the hallway and he goes, are you about to cry? And I was like,
gosh, how do you answer that question?
And he just looked at me. He goes, don't do it. You be fierce. Don't you do it. It is so much harder to fall down, or it's so much harder to get back up after you let yourself fall down that hill. Like it's easier to just go, oh, I can't be fierce. Oh, I can't be strong. And it's, once you let yourself do that, to pull yourself back up takes so much more effort. And it's so true.
Right.
Because like, sorry, I hope I said that in a semi-clear
No, I think
way.
That makes sense. I think, you know, that as hard as it would be to keep going when you feel like the mountain is too steep,
yes.
It would be harder if you slipped back to the bottom and started over.
Right. And I was totally willing to slip back. I was willing to like indulge myself in that and be like overly sensitive over something that had happened. And he just looked at me. He's like, don't you do it. Just don't you do it. You be fierce. And then I went in and had an audition and I like killed the audition. It was like the only good audition I had all year. But it was because I went in and like I was really mad. And I was just like, whatever, I'm just gonna like pour all my frustration into this audition. And it was good. And it happened. And like I don't recommend that normally. like going into like high pressure situations like that. But at the time it was probably the best option I had.
Yeah.
So yes, that's just like sort of where this started. And then two years ago, I guess maybe 3 years ago now, my husband and I were in England and we actually had like an extra day on our vacation because there was a snowstorm in New Jersey. So I like made an homage to my white literary men. And we took the train to Oxford where we saw like Tolkien's office and C.S. Lewis's office. And we went to the pub where like those two guys in Chesterton and
the
like
Inklings,
the Inklings, exactly, like where they all ate. And then we like got on another train and we went to Stratford-upon-Avon, and it was so funny because the train guy was like, why are you going to Stratford? And I was like, because it's where Shakespeare was born, if you buy into that theory. So which is like a huge debate in my family. But anyway, so we went to see Julius Caesar in the day after the Ides of March, which was so cool.
Wow.
And in Stratford-upon-Avon. And I got this mug, and the mug says, and though she be but little, she is fierce. And that's my favorite coffee mug.
I also have a onesie that says that too.
So, okay. Yes. There is another element to this.
She's very tiny.
Yes.
She's past him now, right? But my son is 3 weeks younger. And for the majority of their first year, he was a lot. His head is just much bigger than hers.
Yes, exactly. And that's like the other part of this was then, when we were blessed to have a daughter and she was so petite for so long. And I was like, she's me like in her ferocity and fierceness because she's always had just independence and like since day one. I mean, she didn't care about breastfeeding. She just feed me. Like, she's not a snuggler. Like, she's just like, she, like, today we went over to play at somebody's house and there were two other little girls there and she was perfectly happy being around them. But she, like, went up to a chair and sat in a book and read a book. Not that she can read. But does she ever do that at home? No. She only does that when there are other people around because she's like, I do my own thing. Right. So she's sort of like always giving off that vibe. I don't know where she got it from.
Yeah, right.
But
well, I think that also ties into the conversations we've had about parenting and having an artistic career at the same time and working within the church for in various ways that there is like a certain, I mean, in any line of work and in balancing family and work, there's always some kind of balance you have to strike. And in any situation, it's challenging. But there are specific challenges in trying to have an artistic career and trying to work in the church. And it does take some sense of, like, you need to know who you are and what you're about in order to do it well.
Especially as a woman and especially as a young woman, like not a baby boomer woman. I mean, it makes it like, without going into specifics, yes. Okay, so first of all, I have to say, it is so wonderful to have a friend who is in the arts and who is in the creative, the creative realm, so to speak, of society, and who also, you know, pours her faith into it and pours her creativity into her faith. Like, and then we share the mom card, although you have, like, three more cards than I do. yes, like, it is, I kind of forgot, what your original question was now. But so I'm just trying
to
think.
I think talking about how can we be fierce and humble at the same time, and how does that idea of being confident in who you are serve, you know, trying to live, like, to take it back to vocation. Like, how do you, being small but fierce, or being little but fierce rather, like, on the one hand, I think we can look at as there's also a conversation about women and trying and body image and being small and, you know, taking up less space, but that's not really what this is about, right? Like, there's a difference between being small and shrinking. There's a difference between true humility and false humility, like knowing who you really are. And then, like, that's how you can do the job that you are, whatever, I mean, job in the larger term, in the larger understanding of it, like whatever you're called to do, you need to know whose you are and who you are in order to do that thing.
Exactly. So I can't remember who said this or whatever, but the definition of humility is not to say you're not good at anything. That's false humility. The definition of humility is to know who you are and speak to those strengths in a way that's true to yourself and a way that is true to who God made you to be. Exactly. So this idea of smallness to me, and this is just my particular calling, like it doesn't mean that God is calling me to basically just, like, you know, be quiet, sit down, be quiet, let everything play out in front of me. And if there's a problem, like, you know, maybe like, you know, say a little word here or there. Like, some people, that is how God works through them. That's not me. And particularly into the ministry that I was sort of unknowingly put into at our church. Like sometimes you have to have somebody who has the impetus to change things and to not shrink. But the smallness comes from that true humility. The smallness comes from pointing to God in all you do and in all that you say, especially within the liturgy. And but to shrink is not of God. Like, God does not call us to shrink. God calls us to be who He's created us to be, exactly who He's created us to be, and nothing less.
Absolutely. And
so yeah, that's sort of what I think of, like, as far as, you know, when you think of, like, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, like the little flower. Like, we've talked about this before, like, I, you know, reading 33 Days to Morning Glory, I was like, oh, but, like, say Thérèse of Lisieux, like, she was so small, like, in everything she did, but it was so beautiful and so profound. And then there's, like, St. Maximilian Kolbe, who's like, I want to do something great. Like, if I can just do one great thing before I die this blessed death of martyrdom that I've already been told I'm going to receive, like, that would just be the greatest. And I'm like, I relate so much more to him than St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And because God gave them different personalities and made them totally individual, right. You know, And one is not more or less than the other.
Absolutely. And he gave you a voice. I mean, a literal voice of you know, that when you sing at church, there's, it moves people. I know that it does. I know that there's the holy hours that you've done and the different liturgical seasons when you've taken, you know, maybe our, when I was growing up for a long time, we had a passion mime on Palm Sunday that the teens did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, last year, I don't know if, I can't remember which day it was, but even that holy hour when our friend was, before he was ordained a priest, what is it called when the people are singing in the back of the church? It starts with a C. What's the word I'm looking for? No?
I don't know what you're talking about. But I mean, I know the event that you're talking about. But
you use the church space differently. And you use voices differently. Scola.
Yeah, so Scola. So Scola is just a group. It just means school, actually, in Latin. And so a Scola is basically like, when in the modern sense, we think of it as like a traditional choir within the church. So like they might, you know, sing more of the chants and things like that. But you're right. So like for that one prayer service, we did evening prayer and we did back and forth between the group split, right. You know, the choir of 15 or 16 people split on other different sides of the church. And yeah, just like creating different affects and things like that.
And it took, And it like took a certain fierceness in a way to say like, we're going to do this differently. And, but with that humility you said too, that knowing that this is pointing to God, you never are trying to point to yourself. You're always trying to point to God and recognizing that the gifts you have are ones that, I mean, they've made a difference in my life. I know they've even, I mean, my son has sung with you on Palm Sunday. at some point, my husband will play the violin with you, but he hasn't yet.
He
did once. So we've got to start wrapping it up, but I love where you've taken this quote. Let's see, to wrap up, where can listeners find you? On your website?
So my professional opera singer website is elenatbird.com, ElenaTBird.com. And you can see like my schedule and things like that. So like in October, I'll be gone singing Gretel, Hands on Gretel. I just got 3 jobs yesterday, which is so weird.
That's
so
amazing.
Great. So I've got 2 concerts coming up. I've got 3 concerts coming up. I mean, I've got one in New Jersey, first week of December, one in New York City, second week of December, and then another one in New Jersey, third week of January. So yeah,
fabulous.
Thank God for the work and for the ability to do it. And the same thing within church, you know, I'm very grateful that I have a place and a home to use the talents that God gave me.
Absolutely. And we are so grateful
all
to
for
have
him.
You. Yep.
Well, thanks.
Amen.
Well thanks a lot, Lindsay.
Sure. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are not subscribed already, please click to do that if you'd like to hear more. I've got another artist friend coming up, and I'm wrangling my husband to be on an episode with me soon. We're celebrating a milestone anniversary in October. So like maybe use that to guilt him into using a quote from Marriage Prep. But I'm super excited about what's coming up. So please subscribe. If you're so inclined, please leave a review to help spread the word. Send me a message about another quote you'd love to hear, you want to talk about on the show, any guests you want to hear. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.